morning, I told you that in the middle years of an eagle's life, he goes through a stage or a period called the moping period. It's a stage of depression that he falls into. We don't know why, but every eagle from the time they're 30 to 35 years old. Now, that's the time it happens. Now, I told you that an eagle lives to be from 60 to 100 years old. There's a lot of eagles that live in their 90s and 100, and I told you about one that was 128 years old this morning. But from the time they're 30 to 35, that's based on that eagle living 100 years, for some reason or another. You see, they tag these eagles when they're born. They keep up with eagles, and as soon as they can find him, they'll tag him. And they keep up with his age by the tag on his leg. And my friend, from the time they're 30 to 35, they kept up with this, and something happens to that eagle at that time that's very, very unusual. All the time before that, he's strong, he's powerful, he's soaring above the storms. And as I said this morning, he keeps himself positioned between the enemy and the sun. He's strong, he's powerful. But something happens to him. He comes down and lodges in the wilderness too long. Now, I was preaching this message, and an Indian who had heard the eagle message that I preached to you this morning, part one, came to the revival. And he said, "Preacher, I want to show you if you'll go with me in the morning." He came up and introduced himself. His name's Tacoma. And he said, "I want to show you why the eagles go through the moping period and what causes it." He said, "Would you love to see it?" I said, "Yes." And I would like to tell any of you, you want to go to a good place to see eagles, anytime you're around Franklin, North Carolina, there's a place up there called Eagle's Bluff. If you ever get a chance, drive your car up there and just watch for a while, if you want to bless it. Now, don't worry about the bears, just stay in your car and they'll leave you alone. But it's Eagle's Bluff and it's out in the wilderness. But this Indian was from the Cherokee Reservation, and he carried me to a place somewhere on that Quala boundary between Cherokee, North Carolina and Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We went back into the mountains, back into the country that only the Indian knows about. And we went in a four-wheel drive Jeep. He met me the next morning at 5:30, picked me up at the motel, and he'd already told me, he said, "Wear some comfortable shoes that you can walk in. We're going to walk for a while." And we got in that Jeep, and we went to this place. Brother Jack, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It was completely surrounded in rocky cliffs and mountains. It was like a bowl down in the middle of it, a wilderness, and it was completely encircled by mountains. That day, we viewed over 33 different eagles flying in the air and perched in their nest. We saw 33 eagles that day. I was standing there just flabbergasted and enjoying it. I'd never seen that many eagles at one time in freedom. I'm talking about I've seen them in captivity, like the eagle farms I've went to, but never in freedom like that. And my friend, listen, that Indian said, "Preacher, what I brought you to see is not up here. It's down yonder." I looked down off of those cliffs and I thought, how in the world are we going to get down there? But that Indian knew a way. We got in that four-wheel drive Jeep and we went over some of the biggest rocks, preacher, that I've ever been. That Jeep was like this and a lot of times, and I just knowed we was fishing going over into that thing, but he knew what he was doing. We went down the side of that mountain and weaved our way to the bottom. When we got down there, that Indian said, "It's walking time, preacher." And we walked for a little over 2 miles into that vast wilderness. And those trees, there was one foot trail in there, and I could tell that Indian was probably the only one that knew about it. He said, "Preacher, as we was walking," he said, "I too have dedicated my life to studying the eagle." He said, "You know more about the eagle than any white man I've ever seen." He said, "I know you've spent hundreds of hours studying the eagle." He said, "But what you're going to see today, you won't never forget." We went out there, my friend, and there was 5 eagles sitting on the ground. We finally come to the place, and listen, I told you this morning, a strong eagle can grab you by the hand and crush every bone in the back of your hand. He's got that much power in his feet, his talons. And I'm standing there looking at those eagles, and I had never seen any in that bad a shape before. That Indian said, "Pick them up, preacher." I turned around and I said, "Tacoma, I don't have any steel mesh gloves. I know better now." He said, "They won't bother you." He said, "They're too far gone. They're at the point of death." He said, "Pick them up." I walked over and I picked one of those eagles up and I held him. And his head was hanging like this, almost like you'd wrung a chicken's neck and throwed him out in the yard after he broke his neck. It was hanging real limp. They were so pitiful, I just began to cry. That Indian said, "Preacher, look at his eyes." Now, my friend, listen to this. Their eyes during the period of the moping period is dry and scaly as it can be. A strong eagle around his eyes, it's always damp. You know why? An eagle can cry. And a strong eagle always cries. It's a weak eagle that stooped in depression so far, like that, that can't even cry for himself anymore. I looked at those eagles, and I viewed everything about them. I saw the broken off claws, the nubs. I looked at the calcium deposit on their beaks, and I knew they were nearly dead. I picked each one of them up, and I just hugged them up to them. You don't have to know how I love eagles and the love I have in my heart for them. Spend as much time with them and studying like I have. And I put them back down on the ground. That Indian looked at his watch, and he looked at me and said, "Preacher, let's get over here and hide in the trees." I said, "What are we hiding from, Tacoma?" He said, "You're going to see in just a minute." He said, "It's about this same time yesterday. We better hide." I said, "What for?" He said, "For their sake. Come on, I'll tell you about it." We sat down in the trees and we began to talk. And as we talked, there was 8 eagles come flying in a straight line above that tree line. That Indian nudged me and said, "Look at them, preacher. Look at them good." I looked at those eagles and I watched them as they flew over. I looked at him. I said, "Tacoma, every one of those is old eagles. None of them's young eagles." He said, "That's right, preacher. Every one of them have been down here where they're at the point of death." And I noticed something. I kept watching. He said, "Watch them close, preacher." And I noticed every one of them in their talons. They were locked tight, just like this, and they had something in their feet. And this is what blessed my heart. My friend, they dropped down right above that tree line. And they flew over and they looked down and saw those eagles sitting on the ground. And I saw stuff begun falling through the trees. And it was dropping down. They was dropping big old chunks of rabbit and squirrel, fresh meat to feed them eagles that was down there at the point of death. They was giving them something to encourage them and strengthen them so that they wouldn't die in that wilderness, my friend. I sat there and I squalled when I realized what was going on. I told you, an eagle always eats fresh meat. Never anything's rotted and polluted. And this was fresh meat. I went over and picked up a big old chunk of that rabbit. Them eagles had even went to the trouble to strip the bones out of it. They knew those eagles' mouths were tender and they couldn't chew very much. They knew their feet. They couldn't kill with their feet anymore. And what they was doing, they was giving them fresh meat. And I thought about, "Oh God, help me to be that kind of child of God. When my brother or my sister gets down, help me to be one to give them something to strengthen them and encourage them so that they won't die in the wilderness." I sat there and I looked at that. That Indian said, "Now watch them, preacher." I said, "I'm still watching them." By the way, them 8 flew in, began to fly around in a circle like this. Just like Indians going around a wagon train. And they began to scream and holler. I said, "Tacoma, what are they doing?" He said, "Preacher, they're encouraging them to get up. They're letting them know they was down there one time in the same shape." I noticed them eagles on the ground was looking up at them as they was hollering at them. And they was encouraging them to get up and not die in that wilderness down there. My friend, 2 of them eagles went over and they began to eat that meat and nibble away at it. That Indian come out behind that tree and he walked over there. He watched them, Brother Chad. He said, "Yes, little eagles, you're not going to die. You're eating that meat. You're not going to get strength. You're going to climb that mountain and get back on the rock and try again. You're not going to die down here." That Indian was having a spell. He said, "Watch them, preacher, watch them." I said, "I'm watching them, Tacoma." I stand there watching them eagles. I turn around and look behind me, though. Them other 3 was sitting there, just like his. I said, "Tacoma, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? They won't eat." He said, "Preacher, they haven't eaten. This meat's been being dropped to them for 2 weeks, and them 2's been eating." He said, "Them 3 have sat there and not made an effort to eat it." He said, "They're going to die right here in this wilderness." He took me out there and he showed me a graveyard. It had 27 little graves and little old sticks together that Indian tied with a vine. Little old limbs sticking in every one of them. I said, "Tacoma, what's this?" He said, "This is a graveyard for dead eagles." He said, "I've buried 27 out of them out here that died in this wilderness." And my friend on Friday of that revival, he buried him other three. He come to church and told me. He said, "Preacher, I got some bad news." He said, "I buried them three eagles today. They wouldn't eat." He said, "They were dropped the meat day in and day out, and they wouldn't eat." My friend, God has given you here a great eagle to come along and drop you a few handfuls on purpose to strengthen you and encourage you. If you don't eat it, you don't make forth an effort, you're liable to die spiritually in the wilderness sitting on that bench. It won't be His fault because the meat's there for you to eat. But if you don't put forth an effort, it's your own fault. Now please hear this. Tacoma said, "But I got some good news." I said, "Share it with me." He said, "You know those two other eagles that was out there and ate that meat?" I said, "Yes, Tacoma." He said, "Preacher, one of them had already eaten and got strength and had already climbed the mountain and got back on the rock." He said, "The other one was going up the side of that mountain." Said, "He was digging his claws in and he was headed for the top." Said, "They made up their mind they wasn't going to die in that wilderness." Said, "They made a mind. They had spent enough nights with the storms, the rain, and the wind beating on them. They made their mind up that they're going to get back on top and fly with honor and dignity and fly above the storms instead of living in them." And my friend, I was having a spell standing there and rejoicing and crying. That Indian said, "Okay, preacher, it's time to go back to the top. I got something more to show you." I said, "What do you want to show me, Tacoma?" He said, "I want you to see Temujin." I said, "Who's Temujin?" He said, "Preacher, he's a little eagle that was down there at the point of death with the rest of them about 7 weeks ago." He said, "But Temujin eat that meat. Day out, day in and day out, he began to eat that meat." And said, "That little eagle climbed that mountain. He got back on the rock." And said, "He's flying today, preacher." I said, "Tacoma, we saw 33 eagles today. How in heaven's name are you going to know which one Temujin is?" He said, "I know where his rock is." He said, "Besides that, it's his prayer time. For you that have been here this morning, an eagle starts out with the same rock from the day he's born on or near that rock. That's his rock all the days of his life. And he will never change rocks under any circumstances." My friend, we got in that jeep. We went to the top of the mountain. That Indian pulled out a big old telescope and he dropped it in on those cliffs and he dropped it down. Began to focus that thing in. He said, "Preacher, there he is." He watched for a minute and I seen him going, "Glory to God." I said, "Let me see him." I looked through that telescope and that little eagle looked like he was sitting that close to me. You know what he was doing? He was just sitting there looking up in the face of God. Big old tears puddled up in his eyes. Ran down his little old cheeks and ran down his breast. He sat there and he cried for about 20 minutes, Brother Jack. He was just sitting there praising God and worshiping his maker. I was having a fit. I turned that thing loose. And all of a sudden, I looked again at all. He went, "Whoo!" And he jumped off of that cliff. About the time he hollered, I jumped about that high. Me and that Indian had a spell. And the little eagle was shouting the victory that he didn't die in that wilderness. And he climbed that mountain and got back on that rock and found favor with God again. Oh, my friend. You'd had to been there. That Indian shouted around. He got between me and that cliff. He's afraid I was going to jump. He's afraid I was going to try my wings out that I didn't have. Honey, on the way back to town, that Indian jerked that jeep off of the side of the road, jumped out in the middle of the street and run down through Franklin, North Carolina, shouting the victory. I just sat there and waited. He come back up through there and he got calmed down. I said, "Now tell me what you saw." I said, "I know you saw something." He said, "Preacher, I just got a vision." He said, I thought about my old Temujin. Said, "Week after week he's been getting stronger. And his claws have been growing out." And said, "I thought about him. He'll go down and he'll kill a rabbit somewhere. And he'll be sitting there and he'll be eating that meat. And all of a sudden he'll remember that wilderness that he was in over there at the point of death. Said he'll reach in there and grab a fistful of meat in each hand. And he'll head out for the wilderness. He'll look down there and see sent somebody along to encourage you and strengthen you and give you something to make you want to keep on keeping on. I want to tell you the difference before I get into this message. My friend, the difference between a strong eagle and a wilderness eagle is this. That strong eagle, when it comes time to die, he flies over to his rock. And I've seen one, Brother Jack. I climbed up a rocky cliff. Me and that Indian saw an eagle sitting on the rock, leaning up against it dead. And he had his eyes fixed on the sky. Them eagles that die in that wilderness, my friend, will always die. They'll get around so they can look toward their rock. And they die with dreams of what they could have been. They die in the wilderness because they wouldn't make any effort whatsoever to get up. My friend, I'd rather go down swinging. Amen? I'd rather go out of here with a shout and with victory of accomplishing goals I set than to die in the wilderness, sitting there with hopes and dreams of what I could have been, what God could have accomplished in my life. Think about the years and the time you've wasted in the wilderness. You know why you get in depression? It's your choice. Amen. Please listen to me. If you get discouraged and you get down, it's your own fault. When trouble comes, you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to have faith for contentment and believe God, or a fire of resentment will build up inside of you and plunge you into the wilderness. Amen? And my friend, I'm glad of the day that I just got sick and tired of settling for second best. Amen? I'm glad of the day when I made up my mind, live or die, sink or swim, I'm going out with a victory, no matter what comes and what goes. I've got a little old thing that I say. God let me preach a message from this one time. I've got a saying. I get discouraged sometime or something will happen I don't understand. And I look around and I say, well, I believe I'll just go on anyway. I was riding down the road from Greenville, South Carolina, headed to Atlanta. God hit me with that thought. Said, you're going on anyway, ain't you? You're going on anyway in spite of your troubles. You're going on anyway in spite of your tears. You're going on anyway in spite of your threats. I'm going on in spite of my troubles with my flesh, with my family, with my finances, with my fears, and with my failures. I've made my mind up. I'm just going to go on anyway in spite of my troubles. And then I'm going on in spite of my tears. Tears of persecution, tears of parting, tears of poverty, and tears of pain. I believe I'll just go on anyway. I'm going on anyway in spite of my threats. The threat of sickness, the threat of Satan, the threat of separation, the threat of society, and the threat of shame. I've made my mind up. I believe I'll just go on anyway. Because if I do quit, you know what's going to happen? The devil will blame you. He'll bruise you. He'll bless you, he'll burden you, he'll bankrupt you, and he'll bury you, honey. He'll bury you in self-pity, worry, and depression. It'll kill you. You check me out on this. Stress is the number one problem with sickness of people today. Heart attacks, nerve conditions. Amen? The number one problem today is stress, depression. I know we all get down at times. You say, preacher, don't you ever get down? Sure I do, but I don't stay down. The Bible said a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he will rise again. A child of God may get down, honey, but he ain't out by a long shot. He'll get up. There's a lot of people that's going to die in the wilderness. Do you see tonight the danger of lodging in the wilderness? That eagle quits flying and he stays on this earth, entangles himself in it too long. There's been a lot of children of God did that. They knew what it was to have power. They knew what it was to be a soul winner, to be a worker and a witness for Jesus. They knew what it was, my friend, to be a winner and being on the Lord's side. But some of them slid off into depression. And I want to give you something. Did you know where is sin? The Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. Worry is not putting your trust and faith in God. That's sin, my friend. Amen? And I can't stand to hear these folks testify that says, "Oh, I'm having such a hard time living for the Lord." You're a liar. Listen to me. It ain't hard to live a Christian life. It's hard not to live a Christian life. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard.